One of my favorite ways to unwind is by playing a game on my phone while I relax on the couch. And June's Journey is my new favorite as it combines several of my favorite things: finding hidden items, decor and design, and solving a murder. In June's Journey, you dive into June's captivating quest to uncover a scandalous hidden family secret while discovering the truth behind the unexplained death of her sister. As you uncover clues, you also get to build your own island estate with expansive gardens and beautiful buildings. You get to collect scraps of information to fill your photo album and learn more about each character. You get to chat and play with or against other players by joining a detective club. You'll even get the chance to play in a detective league to put your skills to the test. So can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I am Courtney Eck.
And I'm Sadie Eck.
And this week's episode is brought to you by Sadie's Uterus. I'm sure she wants to talk about that right at the top, but it's riddled with fibroids, maybe. We don't know yet because the American medical system is garbage.
Yeah, we can do a Sadie's Uterus update at the end if people want to stick around for the details I don't really have right at the moment.
But thank you for your patience, because her uterus decided to take her down, literally.
Yeah.
And now she's feeling better, well enough, obviously, to sit up long enough to record this. It'll be a pretty straightforward episode as a result, but at least we will bring you what you're all here for, which is something horrible. And what is it today, Sadie?
This one's really horrible. It is the kidnapping and murder of Ashlyn Mike.
I don't like the kidnapping ones.
No. So I relied heavily on an article titled "The Delay," written by Rachel Monroe and published in Esquire magazine. On the afternoon of May 2nd, 2016, 12-year-old Gracelyn Mike was walking home from school when a man driving a red van stopped and asked if she wanted a ride home. Gracelyn told the man no thank you, and he drove off. She then walked the rest of the way home without any issue, but she was surprised to find that her siblings, 11-year-old Ashlyn and their brother, 9-year-old Ian, weren't home from school yet.
No. Mm-mm. So it's a attempted kidnapping and then a real kidnapping of her own sibling? No. God. Sadie?
I know.
You sort of punish us all because you're in pain this week.
I know, but I wrote this before I knew I was going to be in pain.
Foreshadowing.
That's what I get. The Mike family lived in Shiprock, New Mexico, which is a small town of around 8,000 people on the Navajo Reservation, which spans more than 27,000 miles across New Mexico, Utah, and Arizona. Mm. The town is named after the Shiprock Pinnacle, quote, an otherworldly volcanic rock formation that juts up about 1,500 feet from the desert floor. 19th century explorers thought it looked like a clipper ship, but before that, it was known as the, quote, rock with wings, and is considered a sacred site by the Navajo.
Very, very quick side tangent. I've been rewatching old movies lately, and I watched Little Man Tate the other night.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good movie. Clipper ships. I like clipper ships. Remember that part?
It's been such a long time.
That's how they know he needs intervention, because he's very smart, but he just recites a clipper ship report that his classmate had done. So they're like, oh, he's not happy in the genius school. He needs a good balance of being a kid and a genius. That's, wow. And that's the moral of Little Man Tate.
You need both. So after a few minutes passed and Ashlyn and Ian still hadn't made it home, Gracelyn started thinking about the red van and went into a full panic. She knew it was likely her younger siblings had been just up the road, also on their way home from school. The man in the van certainly would have seen them as he drove away from her. Gracelyn knew her dad would be busy working and shouldn't be bothered, so instead she called her mother, who lived 10 hours away in Redlands, California. Her mom, Pamela, immediately called the Navajo Nation Police Department to report her children missing, but would later explain that she was put on hold multiple times and had been told that the police department was short-staffed that day. There was only one person on duty. Being so far away, Pamela did the only thing she could at that moment and posted about her missing children on Facebook, asking the Shiprock community to please help.
Nightmare.
I cannot imagine.
Nightmare.
So far away. What are you going to do?
Bend time and space to get to my children. That is so fucking awful.
Awful. A big part of this story that can't be ignored is the lack of funds and other resources available to the Navajo Nation Police Department, not to mention decades of economic disparity, the remote locations they are dealing with, as well as longstanding mistrust of both the state and federal law enforcement that comes into play. Mm-hmm. The icing on the cake are the jurisdictional issues in the area. City and county police are able and say they are willing to help, but can't come in until the reservation police ask for their assistance. This can lead to frustrating and critical delays, especially in cases of child abduction where timing is critical.
Nightmare. God.
Yes. So be prepared to be very frustrated.
Already frustrated.
Yeah. Making sure that the reservation has autonomy is very important.
Absolutely.
They also need funding to build a system that works for them to make sure that there's enough resources available to find missing children quickly and to solve crimes, etc.
Yeah. The first time might be the only time I went to a reservation. I remember rolling up and it was just like the whole area was just flooded. Everything was just flooded. And it was in Phoenix in July when I was there. And I was like, oh, wow. They just were like, wow, this is perfectly useless land. You guys can have it. Like immediately like, wow, they really did just give them the land that they didn't want. The shittiest possible worst land. Here you go. Good luck.
Yeah. We stole everything from you, including your lives.
Oh, God. This is not what the people need this week, Sadie. And by the people, I mean me.
I know.
But it is important. So let's face it.
So just before 7 p.m., hours after Ashlyn and Ian were abducted, their father, Gary, filed a missing persons report for his children. Just 20 minutes later, a couple driving through the reservation saw a young boy walking by himself on the side of the road. When they pulled over, they said he was clearly terrified and told them that he and his sister had been kidnapped.
Oh, my God.
They had found Ian. He told the couple that he managed to escape, but his sister was still with the man who took them. They tried to call 911, but had no cell service, so rushed the boy to the nearest Navajo Nation Police Department in Shiprock. Even with the solid evidence that Ashlyn was in terrible danger, no Amber Alert was issued and no official search was launched. People who lived in Shiprock and knew how slow their police could be formed their own search party and went out to find the missing girl. Ian told them that he and Ashlyn had been playing in a ditch near their bus stop when a man driving a red van stopped and asked them if they wanted a ride home. They agreed because Ashlyn had hurt her foot while they had been playing.
No.
I know. Ashlyn got in the front seat while Ian got into the back. He said that after driving just a few minutes, they knew the man was going in the opposite direction of their house, and they both became very scared. And they're older children. They're not super old, but they're old enough to know that this is not okay.
Yeah.
And that's awful.
Ian's survivor's guilt has got to be off of the fucking
Well, and shirt. Gracelyn's. Yes. Yeah. No, not that she should have agreed to get in the van.
No.
I'm sure she just feels terrible. No. That her sister was the one to be harmed by this terrible man. Ian said that Ashlyn reached back to hold his hand while they drove further and further from home. Ian tried to remember as much as he could about where the man had taken them, but he couldn't offer them much more than descriptions of the cows and homes they'd driven past. He said they drove in the direction of the Shiprock Pinnacle and eventually stopped south of the large rock formation. When the man stopped the van, he told Ashlyn to get out and told Ian to stay put. Ian said the man then grabbed, quote, a curved piece of metal before walking Ashlyn out of view from her brother. Ian said the man then returned a short while later without his sister. The man told Ian to get out of the van. When he did as he was told, the man drove off, leaving the boy alone in the desert, where he was found a few hours later.
Oh, wow.
While the Shiprock community came together and started searching for Ashlyn, the police departments were still trying to get organized. It wasn't until just after 9 p.m. that the Navajo department put in a request to the FBI for an Amber Alert to be issued.
Wow.
The problem was that Amber Alerts usually were issued by state police. Because of this, nothing happened. It wasn't until an FBI agent contacted the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, who then contacted the New Mexico State Police. An Amber Alert finally went out for Ashlyn at 2:30 a.m., nearly 12 hours after she and her brother had been abducted.
Oh, my God.
And Ian had already been found at this point.
Yeah. Isn't there just a button, like a big old button that's just a big pink button and you slam it and it just...
There should be.
Wee-woo, child missing, look for it.
Well, and I think that, God forbid, any of us in a community have to deal with this. But if you ever find yourself on the front lines of a missing child and nobody's calling the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, it seems like that's a good place to reach out to. Like, what should we be doing to make sure that the steps are happening?
Yeah.
It also seems like in the United States, most of the cities and towns have the resources, they have the training, they know what to do when a child goes missing. But I think that reaching out to other organizations that deal with this would be helpful too, just to make sure that everything's happening the way it should as quickly as it should be.
Yeah, I just can't imagine being like, it just feels like a Monty Python movie in my head or something. Everyone's just running into each other. It's like, what do we do? Oh, I don't know. Oh,
right.
You know, just exactly. Like, can't you just make, a call? Start calling who?
Yeah. And there wasn't a lack of concern. There was a huge, tremendous amount of concern, but nobody knew what to do for sure. Yes.
That's crazy.
So community members, including Ashlyn's family, searched throughout the night and into the next morning for the girl. They focused on roads leading to the Shiprock Pinnacle, and by 11 a.m. on May 3rd, family members of Ashlyn's were the ones to discover her body.
Oh, God. What the fuck?
Yeah. Ashlyn had been left on the side of a dirt road 6 miles south of Shiprock Pinnacle. Quick trigger warning for sexual assault. Investigators found that she had been sexually assaulted, strangled, and bludgeoned repeatedly with a tire iron. After Ashlyn was found, her brother Ryan told reporters, quote, I wish this alert went out sooner when I called it, he said. That night I heard she was kidnapped. I spent a long time at the Pinnacle driving late at night. I needed help. I thought that there would be a lot more people out there. Ashlyn Mike was born on November 13th, 2004, to her parents Pamela and Gary. She was in the middle of her 9 siblings.
Wow.
At the time of her death, Ashlyn was in the 5th grade at Ojo Amarillo Elementary School. She was described as, quote, fun-loving, always smiling, kind and quiet. She was a very talented artist and loved to play the xylophone and piano. She was also a good student who received Student of the Month on multiple occasions while in elementary school. Ashlyn's older sister, Brittany, said, quote, she was such a sweet, funny little sister. She was so creative. She would sit by me and watch me as I drew and try to mimic it. Sometimes I would get our artwork confused because she was that good. At Ashlyn's funeral, more than 3,000 people stood outside in support of her family after the church filled to capacity.
Wow.
Yeah. The community was absolutely devastated by her murder. During Ashlyn's funeral, her mother said, quote, how do I begin a farewell when I still can't believe you're gone? our little angel, whose life was short-lived. However, her beauty and magic will linger forever in our hearts and in those for whom she's touched. As the Navajo community mourned the loss of Ashlyn, the police already had a number one suspect. After a description of the van and the man who took the children was released to the public, multiple people called in to say there was a man in Shiprock who matched that description. 27-year-old Tom Begay Jr. Begay lived with his younger brother and was the head of the household after both of his parents died in 2014. In 2015, members of the church that Begay's mother was a member of stopped by to check on the family and found them living in squalor with nothing but cereal in the house to eat. Mm. The community came together to help the young men, making sure they had the things they needed to live more comfortably. And I get the impression, I think that Tom had a younger brother and Tom himself had significant developmental learning disabilities. Uh-huh. After this, Tom Begay Jr. became an active member of the church and was described as, quote, never violent and outgoing and friendly.
What the heck?
One man who knew Begay well told reporters, quote, I knew him in the sunshine, but I didn't know him at home behind closed doors.
Good way to put it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yes. The day Ashlyn went missing, police saw Begay driving and pulled him over because his vehicle matched the description of the van involved in the abduction of Ashlyn and Ian. Authorities questioned Begay and he gave them permission to search his van, but they found nothing suspicious, so they let him go.
Ugh.
Very soon after pulling Begay over, Ashlyn's body was found. Mm. And then just a little while later, another tip came in. The caller said they saw a red van matching the one on the news. They said it was parked out front of a sweat lodge in Shiprock. Authorities arrived and waited for the sweat lodge ceremony to be over. Inside the lodge, men had gathered to pray for Ashlyn and her family. Tom Begay was inside of
it. No, Tom, no, you don't get to sweat it out. No, get out of there. It is a sacred space. Go, sir.
When Begay came out of the lodge, they spoke to him and took his picture. After showing those pictures to Ian, he positively identified Begay as the man who abducted him and his sister.
Wow.
Begay was then arrested. After he was brought into custody, he immediately started talking and told detectives he'd been the one to kidnap the Mike siblings. I'm going to give you another trigger warning for sexual assault and general violence towards children. Begay said that once the children were in the car, he drove them away from home and toward the Shiprock Pinnacle. Once they were in a remote area, he took Ashlyn out of sight of her brother. He then stripped her clothes off and sexually molested her. He then strangled her, hit her over the head a few times with a tire iron that he'd brought with him from the car. He said that Ashlyn was crying and begging to be taken home, but that he felt ashamed for what he was doing, so he decided to kill her instead. When he left, Begay said Ashlyn was bleeding badly and was still moving.
Ugh, God.
No. The town of Shiprock was appalled by Begay's actions and felt betrayed by the man that many of them knew and trusted. A friend of Begay's told detectives that he'd been with Begay in the hours before Ashlyn and Ian were abducted. Begay had been at his house to, quote, help craft a gourd rattle. He left after being there for about an hour and likely came across the siblings on his way home. The same friend said that Begay came over to his house again the next morning. This time they talked about Ashlyn's abduction and the delayed Amber Alert. The friend asked Begay about his van, pointing out to him that it was the same as the one police were looking for. He said that Begay seemed surprised by the comparison. He then quickly left and told his friend that he had to go pick someone up in a nearby town and was heading to the sweat lodge. Soon after Begay left, FBI agents arrived at the friend's house to ask about Begay and his van. They had just missed him. When FBI agents learned of Begay's plans to attend the sweat lodge ceremony, they needed help locating it. Ashlyn's father, Gary, was the one that had to show them where it was located on Google Earth.
God.
because many parts of the reservation have no street signs or other markers for outsiders to use for navigation. Mm. Gary would later say that it was one of the many times that he felt frustrated and angry about the lack of resources available to them while investigating his daughter's murder.
Yeah, and it's like this is like the 80s. It's the recent 2000s.
Yeah, very, very recent. And he just learned that his daughter was murdered. And the police are like, we don't know where the sweat lodge is. And in the article in Esquire, the quote he said, he had to tell them to scoot over, like move out of my way so I can show you where this sweat lodge is.
I can't.
So you can find my daughter's.
I would just lay down and die in that moment. I'd be like, well, I'm completely fucked. This is just going to be a long and torturous nightmare. I don't feel taken care of. And here I just lay down and go because no one should have to go through that.
No. Tom Begay was arrested and charged with 2 counts of kidnapping and 1 count of first-degree murder. He originally pleaded not guilty. As prosecutors and Begay's defense prepared for trial, Begay would eventually have a change of heart and would end up pleading guilty of all crimes brought against him in August of 2017. At his sentencing hearing, Begay's attorney told the judge that his client was, quote, intellectually disabled, that he had suffered extreme abuse as a child and had been beaten in the head with a 2x4. His attorney said, quote, he, meaning Begay, hopes that the community he's hurt so badly can find peace in making greater efforts to protect all children.
From 2x4s to bonk their heads into becoming murderers.
Right. So as part of his plea deal, Begay agreed to serve life in prison without the possibility of parole. At his sentencing hearing, Pamela told him, quote, of all the times I've had to speak, she said, this will be the hardest. She then, quote, told the court that Ian missed how his sister used to run her fingers through his hair to help him fall asleep, and how Ashlyn's friends and classmates remembered her as, quote, fun, shy, sweet, happy, smart, kind, talented, an artist, and a great friend. Mm. Ashlyn's father, Gary, spoke to reporters outside the courthouse following the hearing and said, quote, we all knew that Begay was guilty, but he finally admitted to it today in court. He also spoke about how there were days following Ashlyn's death where he couldn't bring himself to get out of bed or to talk to anybody. Quote, it's been a journey that has sort of been like a roller coaster ride, he said. We have finally come to this point. The Ashlyn's family was glad to have her killer behind bars, but they also knew it wasn't enough. To have real justice for Ashlyn, the system that failed her after she was kidnapped needed to be majorly improved.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2006, so 10 years before Ashlyn was abducted, the Department of Justice started a new initiative called Amber Alert in Indian Country. A year later, 10 pilot programs were launched, including one on the Navajo Nation. The nation received a $330,000 federal grant to get the program up and running and nominated the Navajo police captain as the Amber Alert coordinator. But because of low pay and insufficient support, First Nation police departments have had a hard time keeping enough deputies in their police force.
Mm-hmm. And they're very busy because all their women are missing and they are constantly going missing. And there's lots of crime and there's lots of alcoholism because of generational trauma and on and on and on and on.
Yes.
If anybody needs a solid police force or not, well, not police, if anyone needs resources, it's the First Nations.
Yes.
They have a lot.
100%. Yes. We owe them everything.
They're struggling.
Yes. We need to get the fuck off their land.
Yeah. We need to go to Trash Island and Trash Island 2. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Trash Island 2 is for all the people I don't want to hang out with. Trash Island 1 is for the people I do want to hang out with. I understand that's problematic, but if you want to colonize your own Trash Island, then you can make the rules. But we need to give the First Nations their land back. So we all just need to cram on some trash islands until we can get our shit together enough to be guests on their land.
Yes, until we learn our lessons. Quote, many of these problems trace back to the fundamentally vexed relationship between indigenous groups and federal and state governments. While tribal nations are ostensibly sovereign with their own justice systems, their ability to conduct proceedings and levy punishments is limited. So meaning they can make their own rules mm-hmm. and they have their own police forces. They can arrest people. They are in control in that way. Once they have somebody arrested, going through the next steps of having them convicted, they don't really have control over that system for themselves.
Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When major crimes are committed on tribal lands, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, or FBI, steps in to run the investigation, and the U.S. Attorney's Office brings charges, or doesn't. Mm-hmm. According to a 2010 report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office, the U.S. Attorney's Office declined to prosecute two-thirds of sexual assault cases referred to it by tribal governments.
Oh my God, of course. We don't investigate any of them. Of course, we're not going to investigate the tribal ones.
Exactly. For the people in Shiprock and the surrounding Navajo reservation, after setting up the Amber Alert program, the police captain quit within 3 years.
Wow.
And no one was hired to replace him.
Also, like $330,000 is not that much money. So
no.
They're really setting him up for failure from the beginning.
Yes. The tribal council was unable to pass the required resolution in time to keep the program going, and half of the grant money was returned, leaving the Navajo people without a functioning system in place to help them if one of their children was abducted. Mm. When Ashlyn was kidnapped, the Amber Alert system was still not functioning as it should have been. Ashlyn's mother, Pamela, knew she needed to do everything she could to change the system to keep tragedies like hers from happening to other families. She said she was haunted by the fact that Ashlyn may have been alive for hours after her killer left her to die alone. Maybe they could have found her sooner if the Amber Alert had gone out sooner, or bigger police forces from the surrounding area had been able to come in to help search sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "It's the day my world shattered in a million pieces," Pamela said. "I had to become a warrior mom. I had to be brave and fight for my daughter who is gone too soon." Pamela, with the help of others, worked hard to get funding and policies in place to create a better Amber Alert system in reservations across the country. In April of 2018, John McCain introduced the Amber Alert in Indian Country Act to provide more federal funding and more federal oversight for tribes to develop their own Amber Alert plans and to more easily coordinate with state programs. The bill would also mandate closer integration of state and tribal Amber Alert systems for the Navajo Nation. The new law would mean that tribal police could activate an alert across the entire reservation. Quote, "We cannot allow reservations to become safe havens for criminals intent on harming children," Senator McCain wrote in an email. It was too late. Senator McCain, it's too late.
It's too late.
Yeah. Quote, "Our bipartisan bill will give tribes the resources they need to quickly issue Amber Alerts, help victims escape tragedy, and save lives." In November of 2017, the Senate unanimously passed S-772, the Amber Alert in Indian Country Act. In February of 2018, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the bill with one significant change. It was now named after Ashlyn Mike. On Friday, April 13th, 2018, former President Trump signed the bill into law. Mm. After the bill was signed, Pamela wrote, quote, "I am elated we now have the Ashlyn Mike Amber Alert in Indian Country program, a life-saving system for our Indigenous children and their families."
It's incredible.
Incredible. "Tears flow down my cheeks because I am so passionate about making a change, and the very source of my movement started from the grassroots. Not sure if I'd get this far. I put all my faith in Ashlyn and the universe. My angel was with me in spirit every step of the way."
Yes.
And that, my dears.
Oh, my God.
Is a terrible kidnapping and murder of Ashlyn Mike.
That poor family.
I know.
I mean, good for them for making positive change, but that's just not a change that needs to be had to make. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah. Ugh. Just stop traumatizing each other so that we stop traumatizing each other, please.
Please.
Come on, cycle breakers. Come on, guys. Step one, get everyone off out of here to Trash Island 1 and Trash Island 2. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a traumatized person, you got to go to Trash Island 2. Sorry.
Right.
That's just how it's going to be. And then I don't know what's next. Instead of therapy and rehabilitation, we're just going to put you on Trash Island 2. I guess that's like prison, which I also don't believe in, but I don't know, you guys.
Creating systems is hard.
Like, oh, you're so critical of this system, and then you just go ahead and make the same system over again on a trash island. Good job, Courtney. That's going to be good.
I'm trying to find if there had been updates on how the system is working, if it's actually anything's happening. I found one report in 2019 for the Ashlyn Mike Amber alert system in particular, but it wasn't. They were like, yeah, we're working on it, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I hope something is happening and that it's the system that's being put in place. I do know that there are people tasked that are very committed to helping build the system and make it work. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that those people are still busy getting it going.
I hope so. I am not going to hold my breath that that's the case, but I very much hope so. And I hope that they're not further traumatizing that family by making them have to fight for the system that they fought to get in the first place. But,
right,
you know, that's just kind of what we seem to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that
sure do.
Sucks. It sucks. So, yeah. I just think we just need a quick pause. Let's just get a quick pause of the human race.
Seriously, we've said it before. We need a power wash.
We need a power wash.
Like a quick,
yep,
power wash for those of you that should stay, that belong here, that you just cling on with your clingy arms. You won't get power washed. God, now we're like Bible. Now we're like,
now it's just Revelations.
Noah's,
yeah, see, there's just not a good solution.
Jesus, God, literally Jesus and God help us. But not really, because that didn't work very well for those not, yeah, on
Jesus and God work. Are just up there shrugging like, well, we thought it would be a good idea, but it was pretty, once we were like in the middle of the flood, we were like, oh man, this was a little drastic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now you all are just coming up with the same thing. So if you have a better idea.
Right? It didn't work very well, did it?
No. I mean, I rewatched Interstellar this week also. So I know a lot about a lot of things as a result. Right. And I just love thinking about this shit because I'm a dork, but I do want to write a story for Please Leave, my narrative horror podcast. Get it, listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. But basically there's a line in Interstellar where Anne Hathaway's character goes to space because there's no evil in space. There's chaos, but there's no evil. And I'm like, well, I beg to differ. I think that the universe is inherently sort of evil. And did we just create all of this because we, as like atomic particles, got bored?
Right.
Are we all just a result of energy getting bored?
It's very possible.
And it's like, you don't play a video game that's just straight up kindness. Nobody's playing that game, right?
No.
Everybody's playing the game with the bad guy. So we just had to create the bad guy as energetic particles to amuse ourselves. Like, what are we doing? What is this? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you make black holes and I don't know. What? Couldn't we have just chilled out there?
Mm-hmm.
Just floated around? No. We had to gain consciousness somehow. Where the shit did that come from?
Right? Yeah. That's such a mystery.
It's so weird. Existential crisis. So, yeah. God, are you just a bunch of bored particles that came together to make all of us And can we just go back to chill mode for a while?
Right. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's chill.
And maybe that's what a black hole is. Did I just figure out black holes?
Oh my God.
Are black holes where that's chill mode?
Chill zones?
Yeah.
Yes. Could be.
And that's why the great big giant black hole that's like gravitationally sucking the whole entire universe into it. It's like once we get to that point, that's just the reset.
Fuck yeah.
And we all just get to chill for a couple millennia or whatever.
Let's do it.
Until we get bored enough again to break out of the black hole.
Let's do it.
Cool.
Cool.
Well,
we figured all that out.
Yeah. We tend to joke to regulate our nervous systems. Mm-hmm. So really the point is that I'm so devastated by that story and what that family went through that I have to semi-joke about it. And also I'm kind of serious in the joking.
Yeah. And it's one of those cases where I wish I could offer you more details on the killer and blah, blah, blah. But no trial.
Yep.
Equals less information. But Ashlyn, Mike, you little angel, I'm so sorry.
And your
so sorry.
Poor brother and her poor sister and her poor whole entire family. And yeah, it just sounds like he was badly abused. And so then he started abusing, which is generally just the answer to all of our questions in these cases.
Yep. Yep.
You can't hit your kid in the head with a board and expect something good is going to come out of it.
No.
Well, Sadie's got to go rest her ovaries.
I know. Crazy time. I really was totally fine Sunday. Woke up Monday in really bad pain.
Yep.
Progressively got worse. We tried to record. Courtney's internet went out. It's just been a shit show.
Yeah. Yeah. Total shit show. My wife got stuck in Spain. She flew over the handlebars while mountain biking and broke her clavicle. And so she's got to get surgery.
Yeah.
It's just been one thing after another. So Sadie is waiting to get an MRI to find out what exactly is in her uterus. But all signs point to it being a fibroid that she will then do who knows what with.
Right.
But
I have the joy right now of, it depends on the personality of the doctor you talk to. I'm either like fully dying or I'm going to be just fine.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's been fun to emotionally navigate as I go from completely fine to can't get out of bed.
Yeah. And the good news is the American medical system is efficient and effective and thoughtful, especially when it comes to women's health. So we'll have this cleared up in no time, I'm sure.
Right. I know. Thank God my pain has lessened and I can function again so that I can just sit around and wait to find out what the fuck is wrong.
Yeah. But we feel very confident based on the feedback that it's just fibroids. The doctors are like, your labs are good, you're healthy. Otherwise, all signs point to this just being an annoying thing. And so now we just have to wait for one thing to happen to find out if that's the case. And then Sadie can take it from there. But in the meantime, thank you for your patience.
Yes, it might be just, we'll see. We don't know next steps really. So appreciate your patience moving forward if we suddenly have to take breaks here and there, depending on what treatment I need.
Yeah, because the universe is a bored cluster of cells that just
can't. Like, it's your turn, Eck.
God. Yeah, it's a lot.
But I'm so lucky to have such loving support, amazing family. Amazing partner.
Yeah.
Dumb sister who could care less about
me. No, I'm not interested in your well-being. And all of you guys, my God, I don't know if you've come up for air enough to read all the comments and all the love from all the listeners, but.
Yeah, I don't think I've read them all, but I've definitely seen them. And thank you so much. I feel the love. Dr. Leslie, thank you. She's been reaching out and helping me interpret reports and whatnot.
Sadie said immediately when she was in the ER and they were telling her terrifying things about how she was definitely just riddled with cancer. She's like, I got to call Dr. Leslie.
It's like, where's Dr. Leslie, who does not live in Indiana and is not an ER doctor?
A rheumatologist.
Just like walked in right now don't worry about it. Let's figure this out.
God, I know. I'm so happy. Yeah. I'm so happy we have our own personal doctor on staff.
I know. So thanks so much for being here. We love you so much.
We love you so much. And if you want to spend more time with us in the meantime, that we're not spending a lot of time doing anything but surviving right now, but you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube at They Will Kill. You can go to our website, theywillkill.com, and you can always email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com.
You can rate, review, subscribe to us, please.
Yes, please. Be nice.
And thank you so much to AJ Bergans for your music.
Thank you so much.
And remember,
the universe is just a bored collection of cells. And we think that the black hole is scary, but the black hole is just the chill mode. So let's just look forward to that. Sounds cool, man. I would love to just chill in a black hole right about now.
Yeah. And honestly, it's about the most relaxing thought that I can put in my head right
now.
Like, if that's where we end up, awesome.
Awesome.
Just like bumping into our the particles that we loved in our life.
Exactly. And, yes. And are we all, can we recognize the previous particles that we rubbed up against? I think so. Because, you know, when you meet your...
I think we're all connected.
When you meet your people in this plant, in this plane, and you're like, wait a minute. And you're like, our particles definitely rubbed up against each other in some capacity at a different... on a different plane. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And according to Interstellar, it's pretty chill. It's kind of like the movie Contact. No matter what, you get sucked through wormholes, black holes, etc. It's just kind of sparkly and you're like, oh, oh. And then it gets real calm. So yeah, it's going to be fine. We love you guys so much. Take care of
Thanks
yourselves.
For being
Take care
here.
Of each other, and we'll see you real soon.
See you then. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.